All right, guys, one of the biggest questions I get asked is the whole thing. Yes, we are. 1220, bless you, my child. All right. Now, one of the deepest theological questions I've ever been asked. Can demons be Christian possessed? That's very heavy. And if you can answer that, let me know. Okay. I get asked a lot about deliverance. Okay. And I've done a lot of deliverance. I've been through deliverance. Today, you know, the issue is not why somebody needs, the issue is why does somebody need deliverance? And if you can find the scheme, then dealing the deliverance part is easy. The deliverance part is very simple. It's James 4, 7, 8, 9. Draw near to God. He draws near to you. Cleanse your hands. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. Okay? This particular manual, there's an entire section in here on deliverance. The scriptural basis for deliverance. How do you do deliverance, practically speaking? What does that look like? How does the enemy gain entrance into people's lives? I'll say this to you. The basic two ways that happen is voluntary and involuntary. By voluntary, I mean people get involved in prolonged sin patterns and just open the door up to the enemy. Involuntary are some of the things that get passed down that never get dealt with in families. Okay? Or being exposed to evil. Okay? So like when I walked into that break room in my father's, where he worked, I was exposed to evil that day. Okay? And so it's a big subject, and it is needed in local churches. We do it all the time. We do it behind the scenes. I will never be known as a deliverance ministry. I get very concerned with people who put all the emphasis on deliverance. 90% of the time, it is not a demon, it's your flesh. When is something demonic? When your behavior becomes so compulsive that you have no control. And you're driven. Okay? And so, the next section I want to talk about in your materials today. So anyway, if you really want to understand deliverance and how it actually works, all of that's in here, and that's in the back, okay? By the way, we're not even going to get to it today, but the biggest issue of life is how to keep people free. And so there's a whole chapter in here on how to stay free, okay? By the way, a disclaimer, if you're reading my book, don't be standing up. People fall over all the time just reading it. You guys are so funny. Look at me like, serious? I'm always serious. All right. In your materials, go to the page that says Freedom from Schemes. Page 8 or 9. Anybody find it? What page is it? Page 8. Aha, I thought it was 9 too. I really want you to look at this. It's simplistic, but if you look at the bottom line, expose lies, you see it? Remove lies, replace lies. Satan is called the father of lies. There's no truth in him. If you ask a demon his name, he can't tell you because he's a liar. And I don't need to know his name. I don't care if it's George. Who cares? He's an unclean spirit, right? And so, expose the lies. That's the hardest part. Because people don't want to expose hidden things in their lives. And I get it. You know, I do not enjoy telling all of my stories of my background all the time because I'm so far away from all of that, you know? And yet, people can't relate to people who have their whole act together. People relate to broken people. Okay? And so that's why I share all the different things that I share. And so I don't want to relate to people who don't walk with a limp, because we've all been through stuff. And so that's why I share my stories with you, things I've gone through and other people have gone through. But exposing the lies, all right? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are wonderful related to exposing things, because sometimes people just don't know. It's a blank. And so I developed most of the prophetic gifts, most of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I use by doing personal ministry. Because if I can't move in the supernatural, I'm not going to help a person. I'm just telling you. And so I have to get words of knowledge. I have to get words of wisdom. I have to have discernment of spirits. So that's a part of my toolkit. So I view the gifts of the Spirit as my tools. And I grew up working on cars, so I relate to tools really well. Okay? Tools are really expensive. When I was 8 years old working in my dad's shop, I got paid $10 a week and $8 went towards tools. By the time I was 22, I had a master set of Snap-on tools. Some of you men know what that means, and that's about $40,000 worth of tools. So tools are a big deal to me. The gifts of the Spirit are tools. When you need the right tool, nothing else will work. It's just the way it works. And so, expose the lies. Ephesians 5:11, we've said it over and over again. Don't participate. Unfruitfully spark darkness, instead expose them. Expose the lies. Confess your faults to one another. So when you're ministering to somebody, the first thing you have to do is help them to relax in the sense of, my life was a mess also. And I'm not sitting here in judgment of you or what you've done. And that we've all had messes and imperfect families and backgrounds and everything else, right? Okay? It's a level playing field. All right? Number two, remove the lies. We already read 1 Corinthians 10 a little bit earlier. Ephesians 4:22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness, holiness, and truth. So taking off the old and putting on the new. Getting rid of my old ways and patterns of thinking and getting new patterns of thinking. Now, you know, I've been going to school, I feel like, my whole life. I've taken lots of counseling courses, psychology courses, all kinds of stuff. I've seen what the world has to offer in that whole realm. It's not all evil, but the problem is they don't deal with the spirit realm in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, if you go to a psychiatrist, you're basically going to get drugged for the rest of your life. Had one guy on 26 different antidepressants. 26. Okay. Now, if you're somebody and you because of depression or whatever you've gone through, you're on a lot of different medications, or you know somebody, if you want to get serious about getting them really in-depth help, in Dallas, if you look up the Edith Myers Clinic, it's a Christian group. Dr. Myers has been writing books for 40 or 50 years, and they evaluate somebody, body, soul, and spirit. So when we minister to somebody who's coming out like Stephanie, you know, she's coming out of drugs and alcohol plus all the other stuff. You know, you can't deal with just one part of it. You got to deal with the whole person. So what we did when we were doing this nonstop all the time is I had a team of doctors that I could trust. And people would get evaluated physically and their blood work would get done. And we'd find out the truth about What are they on? What, you know, how bad is the chemical makeup of the things going on? Because that's real. It's very hard to minister to somebody that's on drugs. And by that, I mean antidepressants and all of that type of stuff. You're not talking to the real person. Right? And so I am not opposed to people taking an antidepressant if they're going through something. I am opposed to them having to live on it the rest of their lives. Which is what happens to a lot of people. And I understand how that happens. And don't feel guilty about it. If it allows you to cope, I get it. I'm just trying to say maybe the Lord has a better way. Okay? And so, remove the lies. And so that whole thing we talked about renewing the mind, that whole process that we talked about so much, the key scripture is Romans chapter 8, you know, in that process. So my mind has been completely renewed in regard to the whole Father thing. My mind is totally renewed when it comes to my identity. I know exactly who I am from God's perspective. Okay? So I see myself as a spiritual doctor when I'm dealing with somebody. So this is all extra. So if you want to write down the acronym of doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, I'll tell you how I evaluate people. It might help you when you minister to people. The D stands for discern who are they. So when I meet somebody or I'm going to minister to somebody, the question I'm asking myself by the Holy Spirit is I'm trying to discern, well, who is Natalie? Who does the Lord say Natalie is? Not what does Natalie think or her family or other people, but what's God's design for Natalie? Who is she? Okay? So discern who they are. Oh, I observe what they have in their hands. I look, gifts, talents, things that God's given them. D-O-C, I look at their character. Do they need character training? Do they need their character to be developed? Are they late to everything they go to? Do they have a tendency to lie? Those aren't demons, those are character issues. And so I have a character test that I give to people. And it's a fun test to take. So one time I thought I was doing pretty good, and I gave my wife the test. I said, honey, will you fill this out as you see me? Yeah, her answers are a little different than mine, I'm just saying. The D-O-C-T, test. I test people. I give them little things to do. For instance, if you want to come and go through personal ministry, you're going to read my book, and you're going to know what schemes are before you get there. Or you're going to listen to the teaching online, okay? You're going to listen to the whole scheme seminar. You're going to get it. I mean, you're going to do some work to prepare yourself, right? So test, D-O-C-T. I got another R. What's next? I forgot what that O is. Oh, well. I'll think of it. Order. It's for order. Are they under authority? Now, really listen to me, okay? I will not do personal ministry or deliverance for somebody that's not under authority of a local church. Period. Because if they're not under authority, they don't have any authority. Okay? I personally, I'm always under authority. I come to this church. You know what? I do what Pastor Rick asked me to do. I like being under authority. I've always had authority in my life. I told you who my pastor is. My wife has had permission. We've been married 43 years. I've been involved with my pastor for 35. And she's had my permission to call Pastor Bruce anytime she wants. I'm always under authority. So Bruce knows that. So Bruce will call me. And he won't say anything. I'm thinking, did Karen call Bruce? What have I done lately? And a little fear is a good thing. And he uses it against me, trust me. R, D-O-C-T-O-R, R is My goal is for them to get released. Release. I want to raise them up and release them to do the work of the ministry. And so, you know, that whole thing has to do with, I'm trying to help them see who they are. I'm discerning it by the Holy Spirit. I'm looking at their gifts and talents. I'm looking at their character. I'm looking at their whole life, because my goal is to help them become who God created them to be. Okay? And it's fun to watch people develop into those things. I mean, it's enjoyable, okay? I have a guy, we used to have a daycare in a school, and I would greet the parents in the afternoon when they'd pick up their kids from school. And I met a father, his name was Stan, and he had two girls in our school. And when I saw Stan, the Lord said, literally said to me, Stan's going to be a prophet, and he'll be a prophet to nations. Well, Stan was a lost man. And I didn't know Stan hardly at all. And I said, well, what do I do with that? The Lord said, he needs help moving. Ask him if he needs help. I'm like, this is Florida. I'm not helping anybody move. I was like, Stan, are you moving? He's staring at me. You need help? Who told you that? I said, I felt like the Lord told me that. And he just stopped and stared at me. I said, yeah, I could use help. He moved from one condominium that was on the ground floor to a condominium that was on the fourth floor on the other side of the courtyard. We had to carry everything across the courtyard and up the floor. Yeah. Somewhere in the middle of all that, Stan got saved. Stan came from Miami, one of the worst backgrounds I've ever seen. Rage. Gangs, you name it, Stan was in it. And Stan really got free and went through all of this. And who God said he was, I started taking him on mission trips. He became a prophet to the nations. And it started by just a dad who has kids in our school. Right? So who am I to say you can or can't do something? Who's the Holy Spirit say that you are? You guys, it's fun. It's really fun. Okay? So, number three, replace the lies. Put off, put on. Put off, take off the old thoughts. Put on the new thoughts. Take off the old mind. Put on the new mind. Right? And no, it's not magic. Nobody can do this for you. You have to do this. You have to go through the process of renewing your mind. All right? Now, I want to see if you've learned anything about schemes. All right? The way I studied schemes is by looking at people's lives. So I looked at people in the Bible. Because, you know, I've been to Bible school and seminary, so I knew most of the Bible characters. So I began to study the people in the Bible. Right? So I'd look at somebody like Moses. All right? So you think about Moses now. You know about Moses. What would his scheme be? Abandonment. You're so smart. Good looking, smart. Where did he get it from? Full of crocodiles. And he was a basket case. See, the Lord laughs at that, but he's going, I've heard that 10,000 times, okay? 10,000 times, okay? Gary's heard it at least 9,000. So that makes sense. You look at his life, right? No wonder he was so insecure. Wouldn't you be insecure if you're surrounded by crocodiles as a baby? Think you might have a little fear, right? What other scheme would you see in Moses' life? Very illegitimate. Yeah, he could be controlling. Did he have a temper? Kill anybody? Right? When he killed somebody, why did he kill him? Anger, he saw them mistreating a slave, right? Okay. But he thought in his own strength he could fix it. The number one thing that you'll learn as a leader is you can't do much in your own strength. Just the way it works. Okay. So Moses, what about the Apostle Paul? What would Paul's scheme be? That's two. You need to sign her up for something. Okay. Paul said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees, as to the law, I'm perfect, right? Any religious pride there? Okay. How about Mary Magdalene? Shame. Okay. What about Timothy? Be quiet, Gary. Gary knows the answer. What did Paul say to him? Fearful. Who said that? So fearful, right? Okay. And God has not given us the spirit of love, I mean a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. What always gets rid of fear? Love. Love. You have a fear of rejection, what do you need? You need a dose of the love of God that he doesn't reject you no matter what you've done or where you've been or what your background is. Love gets rid of fear. Fear of rejection. I'm completely received by the Father. I don't care what people think. Okay? What about, let's get a little harder here. What about King David? Don't say what first comes to your mind. Don't look at the obvious. Go a little deeper. We know what he did. He committed adultery, right? Why do they call her Bathsheba when he saw her in the shower? Shouldn't it be Shower Sheba? I'm just saying. This is deep stuff. You need to be writing this down on the front row. I'm telling you right there. You need to be writing this down. Okay. What was the scheme? Yeah, he was immoral. Yeah, he was rebellious. What? It says that in the spring, when all the army goes out to battle, David didn't go. He stayed home, and in the middle of the night, he was restless, wandering around on the roof of his house. And then he saw Bathsheba. Restlessness. He wasn't where he was supposed to be doing what God had called him to do. Now I want you to think about lust and how stupid it is. David had access to how many women? And he goes after the one he can't have? I've been married 43 years. One's enough. I get PMS all the time. That's post-ministry syndrome, just so you know, post-ministry syndrome. All right. How about Saul? What got Saul in trouble? Well, yeah, he was certainly that. Just think about it. What got him? Why did Samuel confront him? What cost him the kingship? He did the sacrifice by himself instead of waiting on the prophet like he's supposed to, right? Okay. It says that he numbered the people. He's basically seeing if he could take out the enemy with the number of guys that he had. He's trying to figure out in his own strength, can I do this? Saul felt so illegitimate, it was ridiculous. You remember the song that drove him nuts? Right? David had slain how many? 10,000, right? And so incredible jealousy. Where does jealousy come from? A root of insecurity. When they wanted to make him king, you know where they found him? Hiding among the baggage. So Saul had baggage from the very beginning. Right? He couldn't get a handle on his life. He had a Samsonite spirit. I mean, he's just, baggage is just. Okay, let's go. Do you see how I did this, though? I would go back, and as I read the scripture, I would look at somebody's life. What about Gideon? What was Gideon's scheme? Fear. Fear. Fear is big, isn't it? What about Jacob? This is a good one. What was Jacob's scheme? Remember the whole birthright issue? Stolen identity. Is this making sense to you? And so I went back and I enjoyed. Here's one for you. How about Joseph? And his life was the pits. Started a cell group in prison. What? Yeah. How about lost vision? What got him in trouble? He kept having dreams and visions. He had the favor of the Father. They all got jealous of him, right? Life was the pits for a while, right? Sold into slavery by his own brothers. Had to deal with bitterness and unforgiveness like nobody's business, right? Falsely accused. Why? All of that happened because the enemy was trying to keep Joseph from walking in God's vision for his life. Think about it. Almost killed, slave, prison, innuendos, accusations, all that he went through for God to put him in the position, second only to Pharaoh, to save the people. Because you read your Bible, just look at people's lives. Look at their schemes. I do this all the time. When people start talking to me, I can't help it. My mind starts automatically going, sorting information about what is their scheme. So that's how I did it. I went through scripture after scripture. Oh, here's a really good one. We'll close with, these are the last two schemes we'll talk about, all right? There's a man with a withered hand. What's it mean to have a withered hand? Withdrawn, right? Dried up, okay? What would that be about? So I'll tell you my thought about it, all right? If you got married and the marriage didn't work and you're wounded and destroyed, you withdraw. If you're part of a church and you get hurt or you get wounded, you withdraw. If you work somewhere and you don't get the raise, you don't get the position, you pull back. And so I'm telling you, Jesus said to this guy, stretch out your hand. When you've been really hurt, the last thing you want to do is stretch out your hand. Come on, is it the truth? So the enemy will always try to get you to pull back. He who separates himself seeks his own desires. Last one, Lazarus. What would the scheme be against Lazarus? Yes, yes. Disappointment with God. They go to Jesus. He who you love is sick. One of your best friends. Jesus decides, yeah, I'll hang out here for 3 days. I'm not going. Lazarus is getting worse. Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? Why isn't he showing up? Why aren't I getting healed? He gets so sick, he actually dies. What do you think he's thinking about there in his last few minutes? His two sisters, Jesus shows up. If you had only been here. All of them had disappointment with God. You know that we as people, we have a tendency to judge God? That his ways are not right. He doesn't know what he's doing. And so people make judgments against God all of the time. And that's one of the biggest schemes that goes on. Because when you judge God and you actually need help, what's going to happen? I have a scripture for you. It's not. I don't think it's in your notes. I'm just going to read it to you. Write it down. It's Jeremiah 15:19. This is in the Amplified. The only verse I use out of the Amplified. There, in this chapter, Jeremiah was really unhappy with God and with the people. It says, Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you return and give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair toward God, then I will again give you a settled place of quiet and safety, and you'll become my minister. And if you'll learn to separate the precious from the vile, cleansing your own heart from unworthy and unwarranted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness, you'll become my minister. And so remember, the ultimate scheme always is to get you separated from God. What's the scheme against lost people? They're spiritually blind. 1 Corinthians says they are so blind that the darkness is so intense. It literally says they have a blunt mental discernment. They cannot see or understand spiritual things. Their mind is blunted. They can't see. They're blind. And so with believers, if you actually got saved, you really met the Lord, then the enemy's going to do everything he can to keep you from having intimacy with God. Well, I can't keep you out of heaven, but I can keep you from bearing fruit on the earth, so I'll do something to make you angry, make you disappointed with God, disappointed with the church, disappointed with people, whatever. So you're not doing the thing that God created you to do. Do you know how many times I've been wounded and could have walked away from ministry? Do you think sheep bite? That was really bad. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. But guys, listen to me. That's always the ultimate scheme. Separation from relationship with God and intimacy with God. So what we need to do is be aware of it. I got this thing in me. It's really strong. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. Not things hidden, not things to come, not height or depth, no demon on earth, not even me is going to separate me from the love of God. That's the ultimate scheme, right? Okay? All right. Pastor Rick said that we have to be done now. I really want to encourage you. I'm not trying to sell books, you guys, but I barely have touched these subjects. Okay. I really want to see you be able to go on in some of these things and get the help you need. So they are available back there. For $49.95, I do sign them.
Let's give him a hand. Thank you. Now, what do we do from here is the question. What do we do from here? Many of us are, again, you're moved. You're convicted. You have hope that maybe you didn't have before. You know, we, in the church family, we have a couple of things that we do trying to help you become free that you can set other people free. We do offer what we call personal ministry. Personal ministry. If you'd want to receive personal ministry, a couple people sitting down with you to pray with you. And we use a lot of our material we got from Pastor Joe and from that workbook. If you're interested in that, okay, we will have a sign up back here, okay, at the table here. Pastor Eric and I will be back here. If you have not been to Victory and Freedom, which again happens in February, can't encourage you enough to get to Victory and Freedom. as Pastor Joe was talking about a test. Like, I test people. Are they serious? If you're serious about wanting to be free, get the victory and freedom. And to us, that's a first step. And for many people, going to victory and freedom. Listen, it's going to start peel back that onion of the things that have attacked you and held you back. Okay? So I said, so we're offering a personal ministry, and we're offering victory and freedom. Right? God wants you healed. Right? He loves you. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. Really like the way Pastor Joe is speaking that. But you have to put yourself in a position to be healed. Amen? So it's up to you. It's up to you to go forward to that next step. A couple others. If you're interested tomorrow evening in possibly getting to pray for someone else to come into freedom, we're not going to get in. It's not going to be big, long prayers, okay, where you don't have that time. But tomorrow night, we're going to offer this opportunity to walk in deliverance and freedom. If you have a desire to be part of a team to pray for others, sign up back here with Pastor Eric and I. Right now, we can't promise you're going to get to pray for somebody. It depends how many people are there, all right? But we want to give you that opportunity. Okay, last thing. If you feel that there is a call in your heart to be used in the gifting that Pastor Joe is speaking of, to bring healing to other people, like you're saying, I feel an unction to be part of a personal ministry, being a minister to other people. If that's something that's moving in your heart, all right. Again, we want you to sign up. We want to get your name. Okay. So we've given you actually four different things. Right. You haven't been to Victory and Freedom. Okay. You need to get to. You can sign up here even today. If you want to get personal ministry, let us know today. If you want to pray tomorrow night, if you want to pray for someone else, you're going to let us know today, right? And if you're interested, saying, you know what, I've been through Victory and Freedom, I've been through personal ministry, because you're not going to be part of a prayer team if you haven't done those two things, but you want to start that walk to be part of a prayer team, let us know that today. Amen? All right, well, let's get stand up, stretch. The other group will be back in here in a few minutes. Don't go too far.